We all saw, of course, you know, the injury that he suffered, the elbow injury in the SEC championship game. A lot of their success is going to hinge on him staying healthy. The question is, if they need a superhero the way they needed that from Cam Ward last year, is Carson Beck going to be able to pull off some of that magic?
What is up, everybody? Thank you guys for joining us on another edition of Crane & Company. If you're not subscribed, do us a favor. Go ahead and subscribe. And remember, without you, there is no us. So we're very appreciative. As usual, to my left, former Michigan quarterback David Cone. To my right, former Western State Colorado receiver. I just hate you so much. I love you because I have to, but sometimes I just hate you.
See, I don't get excited.
And today, we're going to be talking about a team with a new quarterback, a guy named Carson Beck.
David believes.
Is he dating a Cavender twin? Is he not? Who knows? Who cares? Won double-digit games last year, looking to see if Mario can get him to take that next step. And we got a great guest for you from Locked On Canes, Locked On ACC, our guy, Alex Dotto. Alex, what's up, dog? What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, thank you so much for having me. And this is great timing because I finally got the chance to meet Carson Beck and talk to him at ACC kickoff media days this week, because since he's coming off the elbow injury and the surgery, you know, he minimally participated during spring football, but he wasn't cleared to throw. So because he wasn't fully healthy, Miami hadn't made him open to the media during that time, but he's fully healthy now. He was at media days, and so had a chance to sit down with him and talk football. And I, you know, he has dedication to the game, and he's immersed himself at Miami. I didn't really know what to think, because if you know, hear from some of the bitter exes at Georgia, they make Carson Beck maybe sound like he's not the most mature of individuals, but that's not the impression I got. I got the impression he's very mature, and he's taking his next opportunity at Miami really seriously.
Well, you know, one of the things that we heard from Georgia people that we trust about Carson Beck was, you know, the big difference with him and Stetson Bennett was Carson kind of did his own thing, right? He lived by himself. He was kind of detached, as opposed to like Stetson, who you just felt like was throwing keggers all the time with the rest of the Georgia players and was really tight with them. How is Carson, is he kind of that same way at Miami? Has he ingratiated himself more with the team? Do you know anything about that? Or is it same old, hey, I'm going to be out here doing my thing, come in, put the work in and see if we can figure this out?
Yeah, I do know a little bit about it. And he, you know, having just covered Cam Ward last year, they're different, where Ward was like the ultimate, I'm going to hang out with my guys 24 hours a day. You know, I think Carson is a little bit more introverted, but I don't think it's to the point where he isolates himself. I know one of the first things he did when he first arrived at Miami in January was he had bunch of his offensive teammates over to the house to watch games, you know, whether it be, I think it might have been some NCAA tournament games. I think they watched the Super Bowl together. And something that his offensive linemen still talk about a couple months later are some of the dinners he's taken them out to at, you know, steakhouses in the Miami area. So I certainly know he's making the effort. And again, after having just covered Cam Ward, who is like the ultimate social butterfly, I had never covered a quarterback like that. I mean, with how, you know, Ward is just like the ultimate rah-rah teammate. I don't think Carson's personality is quite at that sort of a wavelength, but I don't think it has to be. You know, I had a long chat about football and a little bit about Beck with Francis Maui-Noah, who's Miami's starting right tackle, really good offensive lineman. And like he told me, he says, hey, they're the same in terms of the leadership capabilities and kind of the vibes that they bring to the table. So he seems legitimately high on Beck. And maybe, guys, this is one of those things where he might realize that maybe being a little bit too introverted might have been, you know, something that has held him back a little bit, or something he's trying to overcome, because he does seem to be trying to overcome that now since he arrived at Miami.
Well, I mean, especially transferring in, like the timeline speeds up. And to be honest with you, I think the most underrated part of NIL now is the level of dinners that the quarterbacks can now take offensive linemen to. I think a lot of offensive linemen, it's been a huge win for them. They're not going to Sizzler anymore. They're going to like 5 Michelin star ranked restaurants. Cone, before I throw it over to you, I do want to ask, with this offense, with what they return, obviously you look at the offensive line, you return some pieces there, you just brought one up. You lost a bunch at wideout. You lost your top back. I like what you've brought in with the Marion kid from BYU. Johnson from Cincinnati can play. But how much different is this offense? Is it going to be more run heavy this year with Shannon Dawson as opposed to last year with Cam Ward with the number one offense in the country that was just throwing it around like there was a dartboard to the left and right of him?
Yeah, I think it both could and should be a little bit more run heavy this season. In fact, there were times I thought it wasn't run heavy enough last year, even with all the Cam Ward brought to the table. And maybe part of that was Miami was playing from behind a lot because the defense couldn't stop anybody. So maybe that necessitated a little bit more of a pass heavy offense. But when it comes to, you know, the strengths, you talked about new skill position players at receiver. There's so many new faces. Miami lost, I think, their top five or six pass catchers from last year. Like, there's just so much new in that room, including a new quarterback. But the constant there is, you know, the offensive line is four out of the same five starters from last year, was really successful. You know, you did lose Damian Martinez from your running back room, but you return Mark Fletcher, who's been really productive for the last couple of years. Jordan Lyle had a breakout true freshman year last year. Miami went and brought in Shamar Brown from North Dakota State, who they won the FCS National Championship last year. He was a big part of that rush for 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns. So I think they like legitimately have three guys who are all pretty powerful as well, who should be able to run the ball behind a really good offensive line. So I honestly think they should be more run heavy this year. And Beck doesn't seem to mind that idea. I mean, when I spoke to him on Tuesday of this week, he mentioned, like, I just want to win. I don't care if our running game is going downhill and they're getting stronger in the fourth quarter. If I have to hand it off 10 straight times, that's fine with me. I just want this team to win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Coden, you know better than anybody. Nothing protects a quarterback like a good run game.
And a great defense. Sure. And I always loved, hey, let's run the ball great and win off play action. I mean, that's the kind of style of football I grew up playing for sure. I want to get back to the point on introversion and him being a quiet guy at first. I didn't ever see, like, George's criticism of him as, like, being too introverted in terms of, like, staying to himself. You can be a great leader in different ways or a poor leader in different ways. Like, for instance, I had the privilege of playing with Chad Henne. He was an introverted guy, quiet guy, but he still commanded respect from every single person in the locker room, right? There's a difference between being a quiet guy who's still a team guy and a me guy. And I don't know, I'm not saying Carson Beck is one or the other because I don't know him personally. I just know that it didn't seem like Georgia fought that hard to try and keep him there. But I want to know about the injury specifically, because you said Carson Beck wasn't throwing in spring, but now he's fully healthy. How do we know that? Have you personally seen him throw, or are we just taking the word of the program right now?
A little bit of both. I have not personally watched him throw. There have been a few video clips that have gotten out there. But again, like, context is important. It's easy to send out clips without seeing a full workout. Miami keeps these offseason workouts on lockdown, but from everything that we've been told from the program, you know, on down to Carson Beck himself, he's been fully healthy, in Carson's words, for months. I think they were a little bit cautious in terms of when they actually cleared him to throw.
Okay.
I think the thinking was he probably could have been cleared for the final couple weeks of spring football, which went into mid-April, but they chose not to fully clear him to throw until a couple of weeks after that. So he has been, since early May, I think first week of May, he's been running player-led practices and workouts. And but you raise a fair question, because it's not something I put my own eyes on. I'm taking the word of the coaches, and I'm taking Carson's word. So we all saw, of course, you know, the injury that he suffered, the elbow injury in the SEC championship game. It required surgery within the next couple of weeks. It was, and I'm no doctor, guys, so I don't even want to try to describe exactly what the surgery was. I was told it's a procedure that's similar to Tommy John, but not exactly Tommy John. And it's something that, you know, he was, I guess, fully recovered from, they thought, around April. And so, I mean, I'll tell you, at least the vibes that we get around Coral Gables is that they're really not concerned about him physically at this point. But, you know, knowing that your starting quarterback, who's new to the program, was not able to or not cleared to throw during spring practices, it just puts the timeline, it puts you a little bit behind. So it's put extra emphasis on these offseason workouts for the past couple of months, and it's going to put extra emphasis on training camp, which for Miami starts on July 31st, for him to get on the same page with his guys very quickly. I think that, to me, is the challenge. If they're not worried about him physically being fully recovered, you have to wonder, will there be any concerns about the offense clicking? because Miami's opening game this year, as I'm sure we'll talk about, is going to be against Notre Dame. Yeah. So you don't get a warm up to start the year.
Hey, summer's firing up and so is your grill. But here's something that'll make you think twice about that next barbecue run. Did you know that over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is actually imported? Yeah, I know. While you're planning the perfect tailgate or backyard cookout, that premium steak might have traveled more miles than your favorite team this season. That's exactly why we switched to GoodRanchers.com for all of our summer and fall and spring and even around Christmas grilling. We do it all year because it's a fantastic product. So picture this. You're hosting the big game watch party. You're firing up burgers by the pool. You want to be serving the best All-American cuts for your guests. Good Ranchers delivers exactly that. Every single cut of beef, chicken, and pork is 100% born, raised, and harvested right here in America by local family farms. No antibiotics, added hormones, or seed oils. Just pure, clean meat that'll make your grill the MVP of every cookout. Plus, they deliver straight to your door. So game day prep just got a whole lot easier. We know what we will be throwing on the green egg at your house.
Yes.
Right? Or the grill at my house. Or whatever Blaine has in his apartment.
There's a grill in my apartment.
There's a grill at Blaine's apartment, so we're going to use that too. Now, listen up. You subscribe to any Good Ranchers box today, you get your pick of free meat for life. I'm talking free Wagyu burgers, hot dogs, bacon, or chicken wings in every single box. And when you use our code BOOSTER, that's B-O-O-S-T-E-R, at GoodRanchers.com, you'll save an extra $40. So head over to GoodRanchers.com, use code BOOSTER for that $40 off plus free meat for life. Good Ranchers, American meat. Delivered.
Yeah, I know Blaine's going to dive into the schedule here in a little bit, but Alex, I have to say, if I was forced to buy or sell Miami stock right now, I would be selling Miami football stock. Can you tell me, pitch me on why I'm wrong and why people around the country should buy into Miami right now?
Because they are expecting dramatic improvements on the defensive side of the ball. Now, obviously, the offense should be good. Will it be, you know, Cam Ward, number one offense in the country, good? Probably not. They caught lightning in a bottle last year. But the reason why Miami fell just short of the ACC championship game and just short of the college football playoff primarily came down to the fact that the defense completely faded down the stretch of the season and they couldn't stop a nosebleed. That is the unit that they have attacked the defense in an offseason unlike anything I've ever seen. And people always joke about Miami being offseason champs, this and that, but they have made drastic moves when it comes to the defensive side of the football. Four new defensive coaches, including your new defensive coordinator, Corey Heatherman, who they brought over from Minnesota, who did a really good job there. And I think schematically, his more direct, aggressive style kind of fits more of that old school Miami DNA. You know, the only holdover on the defensive staff from last year is, you know, Jason Taylor, the Miami Dolphins legend and Hall of Famer who coaches the defensive ends. And Miami, not just the coaching wise guys, brought in a ton of new bodies on the defensive side of the football. I mean, basically drastically changing the defensive secondary, you know, bringing in Xavier Lucas, all the controversy that came with that move from Wisconsin, bringing in Zechariah Poyser, who could start at safety from Jacksonville State, bringing in Jacoby Thomas from Tennessee, who could be another safety starter. You know, Keontae Scott, who I know the Auburn folks know very well from his time there, and they're looking to move him back to the nickel this year. New linebackers, new defensive linemen. Probably the highlight linebacker addition is Muhammad Touré from Rutgers, who was very productive there a couple of years ago. And so they no longer believe the defense is a problem. And if they've fixed it the way they think they fixed it, I think that's a reason to buy Miami stock, because the offense should be very good again. And if the defense is dramatically better, I think this is a team that absolutely should be competing for all the same things they competed for last year, but ultimately fell just short of.
Well, quickly, Blaine, I tell you, Coach Heatherman bringing in that 4-2-5 and the way that, you know, the athletes he has access to at Miami is a higher level than what he had at Minnesota. And they were so detailed defensively because they had to be at Minnesota with the athletes that they had overall. Not that they were bad athletes, but you compare that to what Miami has running around, and you could see a drastic jump defensively. A lot of it, too, is the penalties. The penalties killed Miami last year across the board when you look at it. You know, the defense as well, 5 of 8 ACC games, you gave up over 30 points. You just, they were basically LSU with Jaden Daniels last year.
And don't forget, our boy Zach Etheridge is the DB coach down there.
Yeah. I'm rooting for Zach.
Just don't let Keontae Scott return punts, if I can give you any advice.
Also, don't let him return punts.
I mean, those are a lot of great transfers you just mentioned. The secondary should look completely different. But I can't believe you didn't mention Bert Auburn. The kicker from Texas. Yeah. At Miami now. Long hair. I mean, look, the kid was an absolute stud. We put him on there.
Pitcher, too.
Yeah, absolute dog. All right, let's get to the schedule. I mean, not too easy for Miami here, but good for them. Obviously, you started off with Notre Dame. It's going to be tough. Then Bethune-Cookman week two at home. Good luck. South Florida at home. Florida at home at Florida State. Louisville at home. Stanford at home at SMU. Syracuse at home. NC State at home. At Virginia Tech, and you finish the year at Pittsburgh. Not great, but not terrible, but not easy, too, at the same time. What's your thoughts on the schedule?
Send Annie a voice note.
Hey, sis. So, okay, you know that cozy hoodie you always steal from Charlie after your workouts? Well, I just went to Lululemon and saw they have the same one for women now. I think it's called Steady State. Just throwing the idea out there, since you haven't added your wish list in the group chat yet. Plus, I know how much you love matching Charlie. Anyway, talk later. I'll see you at Run Club.
Shop Women's Steady State now at lululemon.com.
Yeah, it's tougher end of ACC schedules for sure. And it's because, you know, Miami has two very difficult non-conference games. But I don't think they mind that, because I really, especially now with the brand initiative in the ACC, where you literally get a bigger piece of the revenue pie if you get higher TV ratings. So yeah. I think Miami is trying to take advantage of that. And I think, to your point, we're going to know even before they get into the ACC part of the schedule, we're going to have a good idea of who Miami is. Because if you know, you figure the South Florida games and the Bethune-Cookman games are virtually automatic wins, but you also have Notre Dame and Florida both at home in those first 4 weeks, whether you're 4-0, 3-1 or 2-2 coming out of that stretch, you're going to have an idea whether Miami is an actual contender or not. And I think maybe splitting those two difficult games might be good enough to keep Miami in that contender conversation, I should say. If they can win those first four games, I think Miami grabs a lot of national attention. But the funny thing about it, guys, is you can look at those first four games and say, hey, if you beat Notre Dame and you beat Florida, you're in great shape. But honestly, with Miami, the issue has always been finishing the season and not slipping on the banana peels in conference play, because Miami started out last season 9-0. I mean, at one point, you know, for those who follow those live odds, I think Miami had at one point like a 98% probability of making the college football playoff after they started the season 9-0. They ended up losing, you know, three out of their final four games, including the bowl game. And so, you know, you kind of look at the dog days of that schedule. You mentioned they play SMU on the road, which could be a difficult game. Like, even if SMU, some people think they might take a slight step back from last year, you have to play them in Dallas. And, you know, Miami's former offensive coordinator, Rhett Lashley, is their head coach, doing a fantastic job there. There's former Miami guys on the roster. So that could be a losable game in the wrong situation. And then the stretch that Miami ends the season on, and you remember what cost Miami an ACC championship game was, you know, blowing a 21-point lead on the road at Syracuse, final game of the year.
Penalties.
Now, you know, that's indoors, so weather didn't come into play there. But Miami, the final two games of the season this year, you play at Virginia Tech, who was, you know, a controversial Hail Mary away from upsetting Miami last year. And you play at Pittsburgh Thanksgiving weekend. It's probably going to be cold there, might even snow. Like, that's not, you know, weather that the South Florida players are used to. So that's a difficult stretch to end the season on. And so, you know, this idea that Miami has had issues, you know, over the better part of the last 20 years, honestly, just getting over the hump and winning some of these games that they're supposed to win. I think mentally, the fortitude of this team is going to be tested in a big way, because, yeah, it's an ACC schedule. It's never going to be as hard as an SEC gauntlet, but Miami's got a difficult schedule by ACC standards. And so, you know, the fact that a team that has had trouble kind of closing out games in recent years is going to need to do that this year makes it, to me, a lot more interesting and a lot more compelling to watch what they do on the field.
Right now, FanDuel has Miami, from a win total standpoint, sitting at 9.5, going off at plus 124. And their odds slated to win the conference, they're coming in second behind Clemson at plus 390.
Well, too, if you're a Miami fan, that, you know, the bad news is you got to go play Notre Dame, obviously, week one. But the good news is at least you're going to know. Like, because Notre Dame's going to try and line it up and run it at you. Like, that's what they're going to do with a new quarterback, work play action off of that. So if you're a Miami fan and you're wondering, are we going to be tough on defense this year? Or are we going to get run through like a finish line like it happened last year? At least early in the year, you're going to have an idea. And I'll tell you this, South Florida, I don't think that with Golish is not a walk in the tulips anymore. Like that game, that is one they cannot overlook going to Florida as well. But I tell you, Cone, when you look at the makeup of this team, when I look at the starting group that they're going to send out there on both sides of the ball, I feel good about it. It's the depth. That's what I wonder about with Miami at the end of the day. Do they have enough depth to make it all the way through the season? In a year which they go 10-2 with that schedule and Notre Dame ends up being good and Florida ends up being what some people could think. I mean, you're in the college football playoff.
Well, maybe. They went 10-2 a year ago and didn't make it in. So it depends on
Florida
was,
you know, kind of fell off the wagon early there.
But again, that gets into your point, Alex, about the in-conference versus the non-conference games. I mean, if you lose to Notre Dame and you lose to Florida and then you run an ACC schedule without Clemson on there, then you're in the ACC championship game. And in the current state of the college football playoff, you win that game. Not only are you in, you're talking about getting a first-round bye. So no Clemson on here, which is kind of a travesty that we're not going to get Clemson, Miami in the regular season. But I'll tell you one that I got penciled here is the Louisville game. You know, we're high on Louisville, and Miami gets that game at home and they get it the week after a bye too. So when you talk about not having to play Clemson and you have to end with back-to-back road games to end the year and in your first 4 years starting off with Notre Dame and Florida in there, that Louisville game at home is one that you kind of have to win if you want to find yourself in the ACC championship game.
It's one of those landmines.
At SMU too.
Yeah.
That game, I'm telling you, one, SMU, it's just, especially with the way Miami secondary was last year when it came to tackling, they basically think everybody had COVID, they're social distancing everybody on the offense. You face a dual threat quarterback like Jennings at SMU and the way Rhett can dial it up. I'm telling you, a lot of people when it comes to Miami wants to talk about Carson Beck and the offense, and the defense has to show up this year because y'all were in the same boat LSU was with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
The talent y'all had a receiver. I know we already talked about this, but you're number three right now ranked in the transfer portal, and most of what y'all got out of there was defensive players. So if I could ask you right now, I mean, is Miami going to be better or worse than last year?
Oh, man, I think they can be better, but it's going to be different. I think they're more balanced, no question, because last year – they probably didn't have any business winning the 10 games that they won, because in a couple of those, that was Cam Ward putting the Superman cape on and just willing them to victory. So, you know, they were probably a Cam Ward away from being more like an 8-win team than a 10-win team than last year. I think the team's going to be more balanced. And when you guys were talking about depth, I think the overall depth has improved. There are some questions about the linebacker depth, but you know, they just brought in two guys even since spring, you know, Muhammad Touré, who I mentioned. Also, they brought in Kamal Bonner from NC State to try to aid that linebacker depth. They have a lot of depth on the edge, but not as much in the interior of the defensive line. But I think they have three guys that they really expect to be able to rotate for two spots in Ahmad Moten, David Blay, who transferred in from Louisiana Tech, and Justin Scott, who's a former five-star recruit who's hitting his second year. So if the depth is tested there, I think that could be an issue. You know, it seems like the defensive secondary, again, so many new faces, they have to build the chemistry and the communication, but it seems like they have depth there now. On offense, I don't think there's a lot of quarterback depth. I think if, God forbid, if something were to happen to Beck, I think they could be in really big trouble. So a lot of their success is going to hinge on him staying healthy. You can say that about most teams, though, in the country. If your starting quarterback goes down, you're in big trouble. But, I mean, to answer your question in the most roundabout way, I think they should be a better overall team this year. The question is, if they need a superhero the way they needed that from Cam Ward last year, is Carson Beck going to be able to pull off some of that magic?
Yeah, he's going to have to do it. You know, Cam Ward did it from the pocket. I mean, Carson can escape up through the pocket and make some plays. But, I mean, to your point, at the end of the day, I would rather have the number 10 overall offense in the country and the number 40 overall defense than the number 1 overall offense in the country and a defense that's ranked way near the bottom. It would be amazing if that defense could tick up. You're probably going to see Miami be more effective. And the word that you use and we talk about all the time is balance. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm really, really excited about that week one game. Any parting shots here?
Oh, man, thank you so much,
Alex.
Man,
absolutely. Tell everybody where they can find your work. You do a fantastic job covering Miami. You know, when I was looking for somebody to talk about Miami with, looking up your stuff, man, it was fantastic. Tell everybody where they can find it.
Well, thank you all so much for the kind words and thank you for having me. I host Locked On Canes every single day on the Locked On Podcast Network, talking Miami Hurricanes, mostly football, a little basketball, but you know how it is in South Florida. It's you know, more of the Miami football is what drives it. But I also host Locked On ACC. My co-host Kenton Gibbs is a former defensive lineman at NC State. So we chop it up about the entire conference there. So yeah, if you check out Locked On Canes, Locked On ACC, I'll try to keep you guys as covered as possible with the most Atlantic Coast Conference info. And thank you again for having me.
Well, man, we appreciate it. Going to have you on again. It's going to be an exciting year. We'll see if Miami can keep, can Mario take that next step?
Better roster.
Better roster. We'll see. We appreciate you guys watching. Make sure you subscribe and like the chances. And me not being fired up to watch the Catholics versus the Convicts week one. Again, it's all love here. We're going.
Oh, dude, what is going on?
I'm on fire.